you're going to stop right now and pray for Mike. You know that old saying, be like Mike. Nuh-uh. I don't want to be like Mike today. No, but praise the Lord. It's awesome to see so many kids, right? I mean, that's the person that's going to be filling these pews in this stage one of these days. Here's what I want to do. We are going to finish. We are going to wrap up this series on giving, this series on money. And all the people said, amen. And I am saying amen. What we're going to do is I want to read a little bit from a Word document that I have that I put together to try to wrap up the last 2 weeks in preparation to kind of preface the scripture reading and the message that I have for this week. And I'm going to do so via my phone. And I want to read this to you as quickly as I can. And what I want to do in it is I hope to bring some clarity as to what we've discussed over the last couple weeks. Because any time that anyone tries to tell you how to manage your checkbook or your calendar, there might be a few guards put up. And, you know, everyone wants to take control of their stuff, their time. And we don't want anyone to try to tell us how to use it or how to spend it. And, you know, just so you all know, this is the very first time in 5 years, so it'll be 5 years this month that we've been here, very first time that we've preached on money. And I'll do it every 5 years for those of you that don't want it all the time, all right? So 5 years from now, as long as the church keeps me here, we'll go on money again. But let me just go ahead and read this to you as quickly as I can. We're actually going to be reading in Luke chapter 21 whenever we get finished with this reading, as I provide a little bit of clarity to what we've discussed. And then we're going to look at Luke chapter 21 to wrap this entire series up. So, let's begin. Last Sunday, I discussed two Old Testament readings, if you were here, that showed a contrast in what happens when we choose to use our money the way that God desires, or our own. We looked at Haggai chapter 1 and Malachi chapter 3, and the two things that we see is that spending our money all on us can lead us into neglecting the work that God has for us. Also, we may find that enough is never truly enough, and we find ourselves constantly desiring more and more and more and more to pay the debt, to pay the bills, because I need new, because I need more. Secondly, we see that choosing to give to God will allow us to walk in His blessing as He supplies our need. We'll also find that more times than not, He will bless us well beyond measure and much more than we deserve. And then we pulled a few things from the Apostle Paul as we observed four things I want to bring up as his writings in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and 9 show us. First is this, that we are to give cheerfully. We should not feel obligated to give to God, whether that's giving money to a local church or helping someone in need or sponsoring a child for $40 a month through an organization known as Holt International. We should give sacrificially, following the example of Christ who gave His life for us. In response to that, there will be times when our faith may be tested when we truly give sacrificially, even when some amounts don't seem to make much sense or it might hurt our pocket just a little bit. Third, we are giving as a way of investment. Not that God is going to give us a quarterly return of 4.5% or 7%, you know, this particular quarter or next quarter, but we are investing our money into an eternal spiritual way, praying and trusting that God, that our giving will assist people in the advancement of the gospel through our local church, in our community, throughout the nation, and around the globe. Fourth, we see in his writings in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that we reap what we sow. This principle is seen all throughout the scriptures, which means that when we choose to sow little, to give little, selfishly and unwilling, we will reap the same. When we choose to give cheerfully, willingly, sacrificially, the Lord promises we will reap the same. When I introduced the tithe, I mentioned that if your finances are out of control, then the tithe may be a good starting point for you. Or if you are fairly new to church, or maybe you're curious as to why we pass the plates each and every week, a tithe, which is a tenth of what you make, may be a decent discipline to establish, to implement, to begin a process or a lifestyle of giving to the Lord. However, throughout the New Testament, you will not find a direct order on how much you and I are to give each and every week. And we at PHCC are certainly not going to need your W-2s this year or pay stubs, so you can take a breath there, to ensure that you are giving enough each week or each month. Although, when we choose to set aside, let's say, 10% of our income, that only leaves us with 90. Did you get that? That's before Common Core, all right? I knew that in my head. If I give away 10, I am left with 90. I worked all week on that one right there. This will mean that we must be more diligent in our budget, more careful in our spending, and will hopefully over time allow us to take more control of our finances. And when you have a better grip on your finances, you may find that becoming more disciplined will allow you to pay off debt even faster. And it may also allow you to see that giving 10% may not be as difficult as you thought it once was. And then you will find yourself more financially free to give more and more to the work of the gospel. And like I said last week, and I believe I said it in week one as well, is I don't know that God necessarily wants us to be financially rich people, but he wants us to be financially free people, not constantly enslaved to debt or enslaved to that lender. And some of us will be rich. Some of us will have a lot more than others, but he wants us to be financially free. And that is what my goal is through all of this, that you and I will choose to give to the Lord because he's blessed us with much. And over time, as we hold grip and take control of our finances again, we will be financially free to give as we choose. So the question is this: do I think that you and I are required each and every week to give 10% every Sunday or every month? And I would say no. And here's why. I understand that for some, giving 10% may cause issues. Now, with that said, if you are unable to give to the Lord because you are drowning in debt, you need to consider the words of Jesus. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, meaning you'll be affectionate for the things you cherish. You will sacrifice for the things you enjoy. If toys, possessions are what you treasure, that's where you will find satisfaction. This is where you will find yourself spending your time and your money. If God is your treasure, you will find joy and satisfaction in him, and you will be able to spend your time and your money more freely on him. At the same time, I also understand that giving 10% may not even cause some to blink an eye because they've been so financially blessed. And they maybe will give upwards of 20, 30, or they can't even put an actual number or percentage on the amount of money they are able to give to God. And here is what this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to rob someone of being a bigger blessing than they could be by asking you to prescribe to only 10%, and which would cause you to not be able to bless as many people as you have been freely given by the Lord in financial resource. You and I are commanded to give to God, and I believe that our offerings to God shouldn't be a spontaneous act on a Sunday morning as the plates are getting closer and closer and they finally make their way to our pew. I believe, as Paul says, we should come to that amount in our hearts before we even give. This may be a smaller amount or a larger amount. This means I believe we should seek the Lord to know what amount he may desire of us. We should also cheerfully give over that particular amount, knowing that the Lord will be faithful to his word. He will supply our needs and honor a cheerful offering to him. And we also believe that our giving may impact the world. When you give, it's not about how much you give, or about the name of the church in which you give. You are giving. I am giving through the church or through an organization or impacting a ministry. Why? To change the world so that the gospel can be preached. Now let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 1. And this is what it reads. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. I just want to read verse 4 again to give you a context of how much this woman gave. This woman gave more than 10%. This woman says that Jesus says that they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, and she put in all she had to live on. So this is what I want us to do. I want us to go back to week one whenever I said this about giving, that giving is about more than the amount in which you hold in your hand. It's more than the check that you may have or the amount of cash that you may have in your wallet. It's about the attitude in which you possess whenever you freely give to God. So how is it that we give? Do we give because, the plates are coming my way, or do we give because we have something to be thankful for? And what I want us to do is I want us to see in this woman how you and I should freely give to God. Because this woman, it says, she gave out of her poverty, and she had put in all she had to live on. Therefore, this is a woman who was in desperate need of the rich people to come and assist her, but she gave to the Lord. And this is my prayer, is that for us as a church, or you as an individual, or your family as a unit, will allow the Spirit of God to cultivate hearts within yourself of generosity. That we will see our eyes and our hearts on, we will set our eyes and our hearts on heavenly things rather than earthly things. When our hearts are focused on earthly things, we are looking for the earthly results, such as our bank account, our retirement fund, our house, our brand to wear, our toys to show off, our vehicle payments. But when our hearts are set on heavenly things, we are looking for heavenly results, eternal results. We are looking for ways to be the hands and feet of Christ. We are looking for ways to meet the needs of other people, and we are concerned about feeding people who go hungry. We are concerned about the addictions our community is facing. We are looking for ways to share the gospel or aid others in their work. We are concerned about the eternal life some have not received in Christ Jesus and the eternal separation in a place as hell because of one's sinfulness. We are concerned about things that won't go out of style next year, things that won't need regular maintenance, things that won't break the bank, or things that won't be compared to one someone else wears or drives. But that you and I, my prayer is that we will allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to cultivate hearts within us that we are giving because of eternal result, because of heavenly things. We are setting our hearts and setting our minds on things above, and we are seeking the Lord in all that He has blessed us with. And I want to just go to this particular woman's life story. This particular life story isn't actually recorded in the Bible, so I can't read it to you. But we can tell by this particular passage of Scripture that Jesus sees this woman and is very pleased by her offering. Why? Because it's all she had. And she was still willing to give to God whenever she had little. Whenever she had, all she had to live on was these two coins. And this is, you know, they equate these two particular coins that she would have given on this particular day as 1/128th of a day's wage. This is probably like if you go to your vehicle or look in the seats, there's probably a penny or two under your under your chair in your vehicle, or maybe in the couch. If you go and you dig, there's a few coins in there, maybe a penny or two. That is equivalent to what this particular woman gave whenever it comes to a monetary value. It is almost irrelevant to the eyes of many. But we don't know the particular story that this woman possessed, and we do not know the heart that she had, or maybe the things in which the Lord had done for her. We don't know the miracles that may have happened before her eyes. We don't know if she had interacted with Jesus before. We don't know what testimony she may have had, but it is true that she possessed a heart that truly was concerned about giving what she had been blessed with, though it may be little, back to the Lord. And I have to tell you that reading this particular passage of Scripture took me all the way back to when I was a kid. And it was a long, long time ago. You know, like 20 years ago when I was a kid. And I couldn't help but to think, for those of you that know, I grew up in Frank Clay, Missouri area. If you blink when you pass it, you'll miss it. We didn't even have a population sign because we couldn't afford one. That's kind of the area that we grew up in. And I can remember I used to go to the Frank Clay Assembly of God Church, and there was this song that they used to sing that, you know, I could never find it on Apple Music, and they're supposed to have every single song, but I can never find it the way they used to sing it there. I want to read to you the words, because this particular story with this particular woman who had very little money, she was very poor and was likely one who was in desperate need of someone to come and to help her, to aid her family, maybe even feed her family. Couldn't help but to think of this song I used to hear, and these are what the lyrics say, and you might know the song once I start to read the lyrics. The lyrics go on to read this: when I look around and see the good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. and his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And sometimes while on this way, I kneel and I stop and I say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank you for. And I can remember these particular words, and each and every time it would be saying, I would just sit there in awe of what the Lord has done for me. And whenever I read this particular story in Luke chapter 21, I couldn't help but to imagine this is maybe the song that this woman, not necessarily the exact same words, but this is probably the attitude she clearly possessed, because she had zero money. She had a couple of coins left over, and she brought it and she gave all that she had. Why? Because she had so much to thank him for. So, I mean, we're talking about a lady that had zero money, and we are living in a culture in which we have money come in every 2 weeks, or we may be getting paid weekly. And if we look in comparison to the rest of the world, we are all probably living in the top 1, 2, or even 2.5% of all of the existence that walks the face of the earth. And we will sometimes hold it grudgingly in our pockets and say, well, I just don't have enough. I just don't make enough, or I have too many bills, or you don't know the bills that I might have. And here's what I want you to know. If there are legitimate bills that are keeping us from giving to God, I believe that he will understand and he will continue to supply our need. But if you and I are just drowning ourselves in worldliness and not able to actually follow through with the work that God has for us, like the people in Haggai's day, then we will actually possess not just a little bit less money, or we might have a lot of money, but here's what we will do. We will carry selfish, self-righteous, worldly hearts. And we will have no desire to sacrifice of our time. We will have no desire to actually hand over $20 or $100 to someone who is in desperate need. And here, what will happen is we will grow bitter the older that we grow and the longer that we hold on to this worldly, selfish living. And here's what I want us to do. I want us all to evaluate our hearts today and ask ourselves, do we give because we have so much to thank him for? I mean, do we truly have so much to thank him for? I just want to ask you, when was the last time you just sat in the presence of the Lord and just thanked him for all that he's done for you? I just want you to ask, when was the last time I gave cheerfully and willingly to the church, or maybe to a person or to an organization? Why? Not because, well, maybe they'll see me or maybe they'll hear it. Because here's what happens with the rich people in this particular passage of Scripture. And if I would have thought about it earlier, I would have done it. I would have brought a metal box, and I would have brought my little change bucket that I have, my little change bucket that I get to carry every now and then. I have to hide from my girls because they'll take it and hide it. And I have, coins. Does anybody remember what coins are in today's world? Like quarters, nickels, dimes, you can use them as money and currency. I have a little tub of them, and anytime I get change, I just throw it in there. And here's what the rich would do is they would go to the metal box and they would pour all of their coins and they would throw all of those coins into that box as loud as they could, because they wanted people to see and to hear how much they gave. Whew, man, how much does he own? What business does he operate? How much do they make per year? And I couldn't help but to picture this sweet woman probably by herself, standing in line, one step, all the change from the guy in front. There's another rich person, and this sweet woman who had her two coins probably holding on to him, and she just dropped them as quietly as could be. Just dropped them in there. Just didn't even make a sound, because in comparison to the people that just went before her, it equated to practically nothing. But she just cheerfully, all she had to her name, she just goes up and she drops it in the box. And she probably went on her way, and she may have went to pray. She may have went to listen to some teaching that particular morning. But I just couldn't help but to picture this woman's heart as she stood there And you know, she may have been a little intimidated because of all the rich people that were flaunting and boasting in their amounts that they gave, or how loud their change, you know, made the noise in the box. And here's this sweet little woman who stood there maybe for 5 minutes in line, maybe a half hour, waiting her turn to give her offering, which in the eyes of those around him was absolutely nothing. Nothing. They probably dropped more than that on their camel ride or donkey ride in than this woman had to give. And she held on to with all of her strength. And she just dropped it in the bucket as quietly. And they probably dropped one after the other, you know. Dum, dum. And she went on her way. And Jesus saw what just happened and said, "This woman has given more than anyone else." And it wasn't about the amount in her hands, because remember, this is practically 1/128th of a percent of a day's wage, which tells me very little, very little. I mean, this is so small that if we dropped it, we wouldn't even notice it, and we would probably go on our way and just say, forget about it. It's not even worth my time. I mean, this is like a $100 bill to Bill Gates. They say that if Bill Gates were to drop a $100 bill on the ground every second for the rest of his life, it would not be worth his time to even bend over and pick it up, because it would only equate to $40 billion. I mean, for crying out loud. And it's not worth his time to pick it up. This is like a $10 bill to Bill Gates. This is like you and I dropping a coin out of our pocket in the grocery store, and it rolls under the aisle to the other aisle, and we just say, forget about it. But this woman holds on to all that she had, and she said, I don't care about the amount that I hold in my hand. I possess a heart that thanks the Lord for all that I have. And because of that, I'm going to give to God. I'm just going to give to what the Lord has blessed me with. And to some, they would probably look at her and say, well, how has he blessed you? You don't have anything. And she may look at them and say, you don't know how much I have been given. Jesus said it is better to give than receive. So if you knew how much this woman may have received, then it may make sense to you why she would have taken all that she had on this particular day and just dropped it in the bucket and left on her way. And if you knew how much I have received, and those words that we used to sing when I was a child brought back memories of time after time after time in my life where I look at all of the things that the Lord has done for me. I have so much to thank him for. I have so much to praise him for. You see, he has been too good to me. Therefore, you know, I might bring my two little coins on a Sunday, and it may look like very little to you, or it may be irrelevant to how much money you possess, but it's not about the amount that you and I carry in our hands whenever we come in here and the plates come by and we drop whatever we have. It's about the attitude in which we possess in our own hearts and the way in which we freely give to the Lord, because he has given much to us. So therefore, I don't care how much you give. I don't care how big your check is. I don't care how little the bills are. This is what I want us all to do. I want us all to possess hearts that are generously giving what the Lord has given to us. That we possess hearts that whenever we come in here, it's not about the week in and the week out offering plates coming by, but another opportunity for us to find ourselves as this woman who says, I have so much to praise him for. If you just knew how much he has given to me, if you just knew how much I have received from him, it would make sense to you then why I give. It would make sense to you why we sacrifice. It would make sense to you then why we might spend our only bit of free time this week in a prayer meeting or service in this particular category. It would make sense to you why every breath that I have in my lungs for the rest of my life, I will preach about the goodness and the faithfulness of my God, because you see, he has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. And Jesus said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. All of them. But if you counted it up, it sure wouldn't look that way. For they all contributed out of their abundance, meaning, you know, they did whatever they wanted on their own. They spent their money however they wanted. They bought whatever they wanted. They bought the second home, or they bought the new toy, or they added to the closet or to the wardrobe, or they ordered more and more and more. And out of their abundance, whatever they had left over, they just brought and they gave. And it was so much they were still able to give. I mean, if we were to really get serious, you and I make so much in comparison to the rest of the world that we are rich in the eyes of billions of people, and we make so much, and out of our abundance, we likely give. But from the depths of our heart is where we should be finding ourselves, handing over cash or checks on a weekend, or serving of our time for this particular family, or that particular service project, or this particular outreach opportunity that we might find. So here's what I want us to do today. I want us to just stop and find ourselves in the same posture as this woman. And I'm not asking you to look on your bank account, whatever you have in your amount, you just write that check. If you need help getting rid of extra money, just let me know. I will help you out. I will take it off your hands. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy like that, but I am asking you to ask yourself and to evaluate the reason in which you give to this church or to that particular person or help that family. I am going to ask you to evaluate the reason or the motivation behind why you serve or why you find yourselves participating in this particular outreach or helping with that particular program. I want us to do it not because we feel obligated or not because we're under, you know, some kind of restriction or some kind of contract. I want us to find ourselves possessing hearts that say, you see, he has been so good to me. He's been so good to me. I want us all to be able to say every time that I give because I have so much to thank him for. I have so much to praise him. I mean, if you look at the bank account, it may not look like it. Or if you look at, you know, the way my kids act most of the time, it may not look like it. But man, I have so much to thank him for. And I just want to share a quick testimony in this. 5 years ago, almost to the day, was the opportunity that I had to come on board and begin ministering to this church. And y'all have been stuck for 5 long years. But 5 years, that's a long time. I mean, that's a very long time. That was longer than the amount of time I spent in the Marine Corps. 5 years. In 5 years, we have seen a lot of wonderful things happen. In 5 years, we've been able to baptize numerous, dozens of people. In 5 years, we've been able to see kids come and enjoy coming to church. In 5 years, we have been able to witness so many wonderful things that the Lord has blessed us with. So here I am, knowing that, man, the last 5 years, I have so much to thank him for. For 9 years, and I'm telling you my testimony, this is for you to start thinking of your own. For over 9 years, my wife is still living in the same house with me. Praise the Lord. But 9 years, for her, she've had multiple opportunities to kick this dog to the curb and leave him behind and go. But for 9 years, I've been able to wake up next to the most beautiful Christ-like woman I've ever set my eyes on. For 9 years? 9 years. And then I got these three hellions downstairs somewhere. Probably they could be locked in a closet for all I know right now. I don't know what's going on down there, and I don't want to know. They come up every week. Okay, they made it. God bless them. But I have three of them, and we're 8 days away from having baby girl number four. And in 20, 25 years, I'm going to get the privilege of having four wonderful son-in-laws. You know, and that's going to be a blast, and I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, all jokes aside, I have girls that the Lord has entrusted me to raise and entrusted me to build in his name and in his way. And then I get a job that helps pay the bills, and we're able to eat each and every meal. And I woke up, and you know what I did last night? We came home from a long day. I was able to turn the air conditioning down so the house would be a little bit cooler. I mean, could we go on and on and on and on and on with all of the many blessings that we have, you know? And whenever I was driving to men's breakfast this morning, I was able to turn the defrost on my vehicle so that the windshield wouldn't be so cloudy and it would be clear so that I could drive. And, you know, I was able to fill up the vehicle yesterday and we were able to go to the pumpkin. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I could go on and on and on and on. I'm a preacher and I like to talk. And I could go on for hours with all of the many blessings that the Lord has given to me. You see, He has been so good to me. Therefore, with my money, with my time, and with the talent or the lack thereof, I will offer back to Him. So I want us to just ask ourselves today as we wrap up this giving or this generosity or this financial oriented series, why is it that you give? And I don't want you to give another dollar if you feel obligated week in and week out to fill the plates that we pass. I don't want you to give another dollar if that's why you give. I want you to think for just a moment what He has done for you. And if you've got something to worship and praise Him for, then I want you to cheerfully, willingly, sacrificially give, knowing that because of you and your life that has been radically transformed and changed, many people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ that you may not even see walk through these doors. So why is it that you give? It's not about the amount you hold in your hand. It's about the attitude. It's about the heart in which you possess. It's about the willingness and the cheerfulness in which you possess because of the Lord saving your soul. And like I talked about earlier, 2,000 years ago, as Peter may have sat around a table with people that did not know Jesus until the day of Pentecost, in which the apostles were enabled and they were empowered to preach the gospel in many languages at the very same time, there were people from all different walks of life who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and came to give him their lives as they surrendered themselves to Him. And they went on to see mighty things. But it was around that table that I could just picture Peter breaking of bread for the very first time and saying, "We are doing this in remembrance of Him." I mean, you know, just 50 days ago, I saw Jesus and He was resurrected from the dead. You know, that Jesus at 53 days ago was hanging on a cross. 50 days ago, I saw Him alive. And He was walking and He was talking and He spent 40 days with us off and on, sharing things and teaching us and instructing us. And therefore, we're going to do this every chance that we can. And the same is with us when it comes to giving of our time, of our resources, and of our talent. Every single chance we get to give, you and I ought to cheerfully, willingly, sacrificially give to the Lord. So today I just want to ask us as we close this up and as we pray and as we worship one last time, why is it that you give? Why is it that you give? And if you have a reason to praise Him and to worship Him, I encourage you to give of your time, of your money, and of your talent to Him, because He is the one that has blessed you with all of it. So let us find ourselves today just finding why is it that we give? What is the motivation behind we giving, the reason we give to the Lord? And I want you to just for a moment stop everything and just ponder for a moment how good He has been to you. Let's pray.